We may be enjoying warm late spring days right now, but there are fruit farmers in Michigan suffering from last winter's polar vortex. Let's find out how and which crops are hurting. Bill Shane is with MSU's Southwest Michigan Research and Extension Center. He's a tree fruit specialist. Bill, welcome.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you with us. And we want to welcome Carrie Moulter of Moulter Family Orchards. They're in Benton Harbor. Carrie, welcome and hello.
Hi, Cynthia. Thanks for having me.
Bill, Michigan really caught that blast of polar air back in late January. We saw, some of us saw the temperature go down to 20 below. So what has that done to tree fruit crops?
There's actually two events. There's one on the 21st and one on the close to the 31st of January. So both have the effect. The first one was a still condition, meaning that the temperatures were colder at the bottom of the hill. The second one was a moving air event, which means both the top and the bottom of the hill were affected. And those temperatures, whenever we get below about minus 13, we know that we will have problems with our most sensitive tree fruit. Peaches tends to be the most sensitive on the list. And then as temperatures go below that, then some of the other stone fruits start to get affected, apricots, sweet cherries, plums. And then the most resistant ones tend to be the pears and the apples. Grapes are, depending on the type of grape, tend to be as sensitive as peaches. We know with those temperatures, even without going out and looking at the plants, that we had damage on at least our peaches and our vinifera grapes. And so that was pretty universally over the southwest Michigan area. Once we get beyond the Allegan area going north, the Fendel-Allegan area, they did not receive that same type of temperature regime and less damage.
And I know there are a lot of peaches grown in southeast Michigan. Romeo has their big peach festival to celebrate that. What are you hearing from your counterparts there?
Apparently they've had about the same conditions. We might be a little bit worse than them, but still a significant hit, at least on the peach crop.
All right, so significant hit on the peach crop. Carrie Moulter, tell us about the peach trees you have at Moulter Family Orchards.
We have one orchard on one site and total loss. We will not be picking, seeing any peaches there. We did not have any blossoms on those peach trees. It is not our highest site. Everything at the end of the day comes down to location and elevation. If you have some good air drainage off your orchard, it also would be a big benefit. We do have an orchard, however, that it is blessed with high ground and good drainage. We do have some peaches. It just comes down to questioning which ones will actually be viable at, you know, the end of the season. And if you put the energy into working on and maintaining such a limited crop.
That has to be the work you put into these trees and into getting this crop, and then to have like this sucker punch of cold air, this polar vortex, that really must be tough.
It is. And I think one thing I would like to stress is it's very important to stay positive and, you know, watch your morale. If this was easy, everyone would do it. And we farm because it's what we love. I think that's true for the majority of farmers in our area. Does it hurt? Yes. Does it hurt to drive down the road and not see the beautiful peach blossoms this year? It did. But we're still going to have 2020. It's going to come here whether we like it or not, and we've got that to look forward to.
That is something that strikes me every time I talk to someone in Michigan's farming community, is you got to keep that eternal optimism going.
We try.
Bill, didn't fruit farmers in Michigan get badly hammered by a late cold spell in 2012?
Yes, and that was kind of unusual for us to be hit that late. We do have these episodes every so often. 94 was a year very similar to this current year as far as damage. And growers did rebound from that after some replanting. I should also mention that the Grand Rapids area have a pretty normal peach crop. So I know people down this way are seeking their friends up there as a source of peaches for farm markets down here. So it's not going to be, you know, completely without peaches down here. There are quite a few peaches growing in the Grand Rapids area.
So they kind of missed the brunt of what hit, for example, the Benton Harbor area where you are, Carrie.
Yeah. And that 2012, it was an event that farmers in our area, you know, it's the likes of they had never seen before. I think Bill could probably back me up, but I think that last frost that year was April 24th. Hmm. I don't think anyone slept that night. We watched temperatures. People were, you know, trying to keep air moving in the orchards. But just like next year, you know, 2013, we were all still farming, and it's what we got to do.
Carrie, can the trees recover from this? So you say it's so sad, you see no blossoms and that. Will the trees recover, or do you need to wind up buying new trees?
There are different factors that go into that, Cynthia. Hmm. The age of the tree, perhaps if the tree had already been trimmed for the year. And again, location, you know, how hard that specific tree and orchard had been hit. From my experience, the younger trees and the much older trees tend to be more sensitive, but that would depend on the variety as well sometimes.
Yeah, we, Carrie pointed out rightly that the quality or the health of the tree has a big to do with it. The tree has a kind of a conducting system around it and growth of the cambium layer. And as the tree ages, that becomes weaker. And so if we have a freeze damage, it causes damage to the trunk. We lose more of that, the what you might call the plumbing of the tree. And at a certain point, there's not enough to sustain the tree. And so we do know that there are orchards that are already showing signs of trunk splitting, where they didn't green up, or they're starting to decline, and other ones that look just fine. So it's what we experienced back in 94, and so it's something that growers have to do. One of the strategies that every grower should be doing is having different ages of orchards, so whenever we have one of these events, that they don't wipe out their farming operation for, say, peaches.
Bill, how high could losses go for farmers in Southwest Michigan?
I would say it's in the millions, but how high, we're still figuring out the amount of actual loss. As Carrie mentioned, there are some places that will have some peaches. Mm-hmm. Again, as you go north, they are back to normal production. So we'd need to do that calculation again. But about 50% of the peaches are grown down in Southwest Michigan, mm-hmm. and majority of those are gone. It's almost half of the peach crop. There's a lot of processing peaches that are grown up by Hart Shelby that are doing just fine.
And is it fair to say consumers might have to expect higher prices?
Kind of yes and kind of no, because Michigan does not grow enough peaches to supply the chain stores. So a lot come in from South Carolina and California. Peaches in Michigan tend to go for farm markets, and the supply will be shorter. I know many farm marketers are trying to not raise the prices too much, but it will be higher, I would guess.
Carrie, final question. Do you have other crops, fruit and vegetable crops, that can help kind of cushion this peach loss for you?
Yes, our farm made the decision after there was a partial frost in 2009, and at that time we only had apple orchards. After that, we decided to diversify to try and prevent, you know, a total wipeout in the event of a singular crop failure. That's what saved us after 2012. So we do grow other crops. We do a lot of dry vegetables, kale, cabbage, green beans, and corn as well, in addition to apples.
How are your apples looking?
So far, so good.
There's that eternal optimism. There you go. Carrie Moulter of Moulter Family Orchards and Bill Shane with the MSU Southwest Michigan Research and Extension Center. Thanks to both of you for being with us.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us, Cynthia.